Did I say John 17?
Yes, sir.
Okay, bow your heads just for a quick minute. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through your word.
Yes, Lord.
So you've already spoke to our hearts during worship and during the fellowship. It's so good to see the family here this morning. This is our place of refuge, our place of safety, Lord.
Yes.
We come and get refueled and recharged and renewed, and then we go back out there, Lord, to seek and to save those that are lost, Lord, to make disciples, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone who will listen. So we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you how your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, fallen, decaying world. We need your word today more than ever. Speak to us now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So as we're going through the book of John, the title of this message, this continuing message, the message that never ends, we're in part four, is God enough? And that's what you and I have to determine for ourselves. Is God enough? So we were going through this message, and then we had First Sunday, we had Father's Day, and so it's been 2 or 3 weeks since we've been talking about is God enough. So let me just do a quick review. Look at John 17 and 3. This is Jesus talking. Throughout chapter 17, Jesus initially prayed for himself, then he prayed for the disciples, then he prayed for us. So in John 3, quick review, 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they may know, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Underline, it's only one true God. There's a lot of little gods out there, but there's only one true God. Verse 8, for I have given unto them words which thou gave to me, and they have received them. Underline, you have to receive what God has given us. You can reject it or you can receive it. Jesus said the particular disciples that he's praying for right now, they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed, they have trusted that you have sent me. Receive, believe, trust, know that Jesus came from God, God sent him. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Underline, God is the Holy Father, which means he's separate. God is different. God's not like anyone else. He's not like any other father. He's a holy father. He's not a curse word. He's a holy father. Keep through your own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus is praying that we would have the same agenda, and we've talked about that. So make a note. We need to have the same agenda to seek and to save those that are lost. Different methods, but as a church, we must have the same agenda. Verse 15, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. So Jesus isn't praying to take us out. He's praying that we get through. I'd like to be bailed out too, but God said, nah, you got to get through this. I'm not going to take you out. You got to get through it. I'm with you though. Understand, I'm with you and you can do it. I wouldn't tell you could do it if you couldn't. I'm with you. You're going to get through it. And then verse 19, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So we're sanctified because Jesus Christ lived a sanctified life, and that's how his blood cleanses us from all sins. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. If he wasn't sanctified, then we're not cleansed. Remember, you can't get clean in dirty bathwater. It's just not possible. If you take a bath after somebody else is taking a bath, they didn't clean the tub, you're using the same water, you're not going to get clean. So if Jesus hadn't been sanctified, then we're not sanctified. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word. So now Jesus is praying for us. If you don't believe in the truth of the word, then just ask yourself this. Here we are 2017 years later. How did Jesus know that we would believe on the word of the disciples? And why would he be praying for us if he didn't know that we would believe and need to be prayed for? How would he know that? Unless his word is true.
Amen.
He knew that we would need prayer. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He knew that the disciples would go out and share his word. And here we are 2017 years later, and we're still believing on his word. How would he know that? Well, because God knows everything. Jesus claimed to be God, and he proved it. The only person to resurrect, to die, resurrect, tell you how to get to heaven and what heaven is like. There have been people who had near-death experiences, but nobody's died and come back and then shared what it was like and how to get there. Except for Jesus Christ. Separates him from any other person that ever lived. Any other prophet, any other claiming to be God. No one else has ever done what Jesus Christ has done. And the evidence is still there. And us being here is the spiritual evidence, but we do have the physical evidence where you can go and see for yourself as well. Amen. All right, so let's pick it up at verse 24. Here's Jesus speaking. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. So Jesus' desire is that we would be with him. We read last week how God doesn't discriminate. Amen. If you missed it last week, Jesus ministered to and saved a blind beggar and a rich sinner. He didn't discriminate. He didn't say, you a bum, get out my face. He didn't say, you got too much money, get out my face. He ministered to both of them.
Amen.
So make a note, God doesn't discriminate. We discriminate against God, but God never discriminates against us. And we talked about how last week, we're somewhere between a blind beggar and a rich sinner. We somewhere in between there. And God doesn't discriminate. God takes us all. So make a note that speaks to the character of God. God doesn't discriminate. God is not some cosmic killjoy trying to stop you from having fun. It's not God's job. He's not up there with some lightning bolt waiting for you to make a mistake and go look at you. God doesn't operate like that. In some kind of way, through the spiritual warfare, we have that idea that God's out to get us, or that God doesn't want us to have any fun, where God is just really trying to save us from ourselves, trying to save us from self-destructing.
That's
why I give us the word. The word is also called a prescription. It's a prescription for living right. The commandments, you translate that, those are prescriptions for living right. Just like some of us had to go to the doctor before the doctor prescribed something. Say, take this and you'll get better. You tell him, no, I'm good. I'll do it my way. I know you've gone to school, for medical school, you've done all that, but you know what? I've never done anything like that, but I'll prescribe my own medicine. Doctor says, take two. You say, you know what? I don't even want to take any. Matter of fact, I missed yesterday, and the day before, I'm going to take six today. All right. God says, I need you to live like this. Do this, do that, not because I'm trying to confine you, but I'm trying to give you limits and boundaries so you don't self-destruct. Then we tell God, you know what? I got this. You created everything. You know everything. But you know what? I got this. Speaks to the character of God. The blind beggar's name was Bartimaeus. His name means highly prized. Zacchaeus, the rich sinner, his name means pure. So in God's eyes, we're highly, highly prized and we're pure because of Jesus Christ. Highly prized and pure. I know we don't feel like that sometimes, but that's how God sees us through Jesus Christ. Make a note. You're somewhere between highly prized and pure. It's how God sees us. Verse 24, Jesus speaks of kind of four different things. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may be, with me. Number one. So Jesus desires that we would be with him. We looked at John 14. Turn there just because it's just the next page. John 14 and 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. That word believe right there is trust. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Don't be worried. Don't be troubled. Don't be stressed out. Don't be tripping. I'm kind of translating, paraphrasing. Don't be stressed out. Don't be tripping. If you trust God, trust me.
Amen.
Jesus, I mean, I think the word can't get any more plainer than that.
Right.
Is God enough? Do we believe what we read? If we do, then our lifestyle should reflect it. So you got to ask yourself, underline, it talks about your heart, too. That's the cardia. It's the center of your feelings, your appetite, everything. And God is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. And so I'm asking you, what's troubling your heart this morning? Whatever it is, you got to cast it onto God because he cares for us. And then we got to trust God. We got to give it to him and don't take it back. Let not your heart be troubled. You trust in God. Trust in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's his prayer. God wants us with him. God wants us walking with him, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. That's why it's so important to have your morning prayer and study and worship time. 2 minutes. And just work your way up. God desires that time with us. So where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Verse 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Look at where it says in verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Wow. Jesus said, told them, when you're looking at me, you're looking at God. That's a bold statement. Somebody say, Jesus never claimed to be God. How can somebody say, if you're looking at him, you're looking at me? If you look at me, you're looking at him. If you know him, you know me. Make a note. Jesus wants you to be, he wants you and I to be where he is. And then look at this. Second part of that. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. God, Jesus wants us to see his glory, his doxa, his majesty, his brilliance. So as I was just meditating on that, it took me all the way to Revelation chapter 21. Let's go to Revelation 21. This is what Jesus, what his glory is. This is what he left so he can come and save us. That's a Revelation 21:21. When you get a chance, read the entire chapter. Maybe at some point we will, but it's just too incredible. So we just pick it up at verse 21, describing the new heaven and a new earth. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every individual gate was one pearl. And the street, not streets, is just one big street, I guess. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Wow. That's some brilliance. Jesus said, this is what I left. This is what I left. This is what I have coming for you all. But this is what I left so I can come and die for your sins. I want you to notice one thing, though. A couple of things, actually. In verse 21, notice the excellence of God. Notice the detail of God, the specifics, the order, and the creativity. Let me say it again. The excellence of God, the detail of God, the order of God, the specifics of God, and the creativity of God. Everything that God has placed in us, how we should lead our lives. Excellent. Pay attention to detail because every little thing counts. Every little thing. There should be order to our life. We should be specific. We should be intentional. And definitely, we're creative. All for God's glory. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. Just make a note of what God has for you. Jesus said, where I am, that there you may be also. Everyone, please read this. The counterfeit that the enemy is offering us can't compare to the real life that God is offering us. My prayer is that we see through the temptations, frustrations, and distractions and trust God in every aspect of our life. The enemy is throwing up some counterfeit. God said, this is what I have for you. Don't get distracted by the counterfeit. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So it's no more church. It's God and Jesus. And we know that the church is just a building anyway. When we leave this place, it's kind of like empty. We're the church. It's us. When we come together, we make it what it is. By itself, it's just wood and metal and plaster and whatever else. Glass, whatever. It's nothing. But when we get to heaven, what God has for us, the glory that Jesus left so we could be saved. Make a note that God is saying we're going to be back with him again. We'll be walking once again, just like we were in the garden, or Adam and Eve were in the garden, but now we'll be walking in heaven. Make a note that God is a relational God. It's about relationships. God desires to have that relationship with us. Everyone's looking for the perfect relationship. Everyone's looking for the perfect relationship. Y'all not going to talk to me this morning. All right, all right. God wants a relationship where he's walking with us. We're looking for the perfect church. We're looking for the perfect relationship. But we know that as soon as we become a part of it, it becomes imperfect because we're not perfect. Don't let the enemy fool you. God's not looking for perfection. God is looking for commitment. It's not about being perfect. It's about being connected to God and being connected to each other. So don't take the pressure off yourself. You don't have to try and live a perfect life to be a Christian. Matter of fact, you couldn't live it. Enemy tries to switch our head around and make us think we got to do this thing perfectly. You don't. I think I shared this with somebody. You know, when I think it was last month or earlier this month. No, it's last month, July, when you guys honored my wife and I just gave us that nice gift. You kind of put pressure on yourself saying, man, I got to be the perfect pastor for my congregation. Yeah, I mean, you are really special. I don't want to do something stupid. Well, God told me a long time ago, if you don't do nothing stupid, I can take care of you. All right, God. All right. Cool. I just got to not do anything stupid. But you put pressure on yourself like, okay, I think I can pass it for the next 20 years. I feel pretty good. Bernie. Not as big as Bernie, but I feel pretty good. Next 20 years, God says, stop. I don't need 20 years. Just do the best you can today.
That's right, man. That's right.
How about you just be the best you can today? So let me liberate somebody right now. Stop trying to be all perfect and looking down the line. God's looking for us being connected with him and with each other. But do the best you can today for God. And then tomorrow, you know what? Do the same thing. Take the pressure off yourself. I felt so liberated. Thank you, Lord. You know what? So far today, I've done nothing stupid. You know what I'm saying? I think I can make it through the day. And then tomorrow, I'm going to try the same thing. Just one day at a time. Take the pressure off. You don't have to try and be perfect. You don't have to try and be all religious. This is not a religious. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. God wants to walk with us daily. God wants us to talk with him daily. Get rid of that religious stuff. It's about relationship. All of us that are married or have kids, it's not about lining the kids up and doing. It's about a relationship with our kids. It's a relationship with our spouse. And you know that each kid is different. You can't talk to one kid the way you talk to the other kid. But if you don't have a relationship with them, you don't know that. You just can't go in and say, "I need you to sit down, shut up." And what you crying for? Because you can't talk to that one like you can talk to this one. You got to have the relationship. God wants the relationship. He said, "There, he's the temple. He's the light. All we're doing is just hanging out." And look, it even gets better. Verse 20, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it for the glory of God. This is what Jesus left. He left the doxa of God. This is so bright. Lighted it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. It's just daylight all the time. That's some glory that he left for us so we could be with him. If he doesn't do that, then we can't be with him. That's how much he loved us. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Why? Because he wanted us to be with him. Just doesn't get dark. And I remember Trace and I, we went to Alaska in the summer. Amen. Almost at the point where they have a 24-hour sunlight. And it's like midnight and it looks like this. You're like, "Man, what kind of place is this?" It's kind of, you can get a lot done. It's pretty cool. Talk about a productive day, amen? But see, the only problem with Anchorage, Brother Roy, is that in the wintertime, you get the 24-hour darkness. You don't get that here. And it was one, the driver, he was telling us, it's not so much the cold during the winter, it's the darkness. He said it drives him just to drink. He said he really has to catch himself because it's just, the depression is so heavy. Can you imagine when it's always dark? That's why God said, "No, it's the light. We don't need it." It gets better. I love this. Verse 24, and the nations, underline nations. Of them which are saved, the nations which are saved, underline that. You look up nations, it's like every kind, every color will be saved. So if you're a racist, you're not going to make it to heaven. Because everybody's going to be up there. Read it, it says every nation. See, the world's trying to flip it and make it seem like God discriminates against people. God says it's going to be some everybody in heaven. And if you any type of ist, you probably won't be there. He say every nation is going to be there that are saved. Underline that. You got to be saved. And she'll walk in the light of it. See, we're going to walk. We're going to walk with God. We're going to talk with God. We're going to be on the street of gold. It's not going to be night there. It's going to be the pearly gates, the pure gold, the detail, the excellence of God, everything he has for us. And look at this, he says, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So we got people down here that are saved. They're going to come up there and they're going to be celebrated. God doesn't have a problem celebrating saved folks. So my suggestion is we celebrate each other now. Amen. God's going to celebrate us in our gifts and our talents and our titles. But we're saved. We know that it's because of God. We've humbled ourselves. God's lifted us up. We're not coming in there like, "I'm the king of this," because Jesus, that's why he's the king of kings. Because there's going to be other kings there, but we recognize who the king of, that's the king of kings. All right. I can humble myself to the king of kings. I don't have a problem with it. I can celebrate my brothers, my sisters. I can celebrate y'all. God's gifted us. God's given us talents, gifts, and abilities. God celebrates that. We use them for his glory. And then when the king of kings, we understand each morning, we know who the king of kings is, who's made it all possible. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. God doesn't have a problem with that. God said, "I'll celebrate you." But when the king of kings, when they lighten it up, lighten up everything. Oh, it gets better. I love this. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Don't have to close your doors. Windows open. Hey, no drive-bys, no car chases. Yeah, those days are over. Don't need to lock your doors or windows. We're just kicking back. When we going home? When the day is over? You know what? The day ain't never over. We staying right here till the day. We ain't going nowhere. What y'all doing? How late y'all staying out? Till the lights come on? Till the street lights come on? But it don't get dark. Y'all remember y'all have to be home before the street lights came on. Y'all don't have to worry about that no more. Jesus said that they will understand where I came from so they could be free. What I left and what I'm going to prepare a place for them. What my glory is all about. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Gonna be celebrated there. God's not trying to stifle us. God's gonna celebrate us when we get there. Some Christians doing some really powerful things down here. And God is perfectly okay with that. And remember, we talked about in our men's meeting yesterday, it's not about a show. There's a lot put on a show out here too, but God knows that too. Folks gonna get up there, Lord, Lord, didn't I? God's going, I never knew you. You put on a good show, but I didn't. There was no connection between us. So make sure, family, whatever we're doing, our heart is connected to God's heart. And God has no problem elevating you and I at the right time and celebrating us. Thus you bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Verse 27, make a note. There shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever causes abomination or maketh a lie. Those days are over. See, everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Say, just everybody ain't going. Because look, we're not God. Say, we're not going to go through this stuff again. It ain't going to be no fruit, getting tempted by Satan, eating it, messing stuff. That's those days. That's not going to happen. No, that's over with. Ain't nothing getting in like that. Anything that's not right, you're not getting in. So you're going to be at, where's Brother Derek was talking about passing out barbecue tickets. Satan passing out barbecue tickets to the barbecue in hell, to the fire. Folks just taking them. I want one. Yeah, you're going to be at the barbecue. We're going to be at the streets of gold celebrating. You're going to be with Satan at the barbecue. The eternal barbecue that you don't leave. That is dark. Look at verse 27 again. Don't let people fool you. And there shall be in no wise entering in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh or causeth abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Catherine sang about the angels in heaven and sign my name. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, there's an angel that signs your name. Angels in heaven then sign my name in the book of life. So then here's the question. How do I get my name signed in the book of life? Look at Revelation. Let's go back to Revelation 20 and verse 11. We'll close with this section of scriptures. You can't work to get your name signed in the book of life. It's either you accept it or you don't. It's a free gift. You do have to accept it. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them to hide. Next scripture, Natalie. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now this is happening before, we're doing the prequel again. This is the prequel to when we're on the new heaven and the new earth. So in order to get to the new heaven and the new earth, you got to understand what happens at the prequel. how this whole judgment thing got started. So people trying to run, but they can't hide from God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I don't care how far you run. It ain't no place. Underline, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Underline that. I don't care how great you are. Remember, a blind beggar, a rich sinner. Somewhere and everybody between there, we got to stand before God. So you hear people say, well, you know, all religions lead to God. Actually, they do. Because you see right here, everybody's standing before God. But they all don't lead to eternal life with Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, man, I believe in all religions. Actually, you're kind of right. They do. But you're going to stand before God. And God's going to look in your heart and see if all that sin is in there, or if it's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't save ourselves. We can't get rid of our sin. We can confess it and forsake it so it can be covered by Jesus Christ. But I can't get rid of my sin. It has to be covered by the blood. And God's going to look right in your heart and see if you've ever accepted Christ. And he looks into your heart and sees Christ. He says, oh, that's my son. Come on in. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Looks right at the heart. See if Jesus is in there. Oh, it's covered. Other than that, what he looks in your heart and he sees. And trust me, we talked about that. So the men, if you can come out on the second Saturday, come out, because we just get real in there. We talked about it. As a man, just think about if God looked in your heart and it's not covered with the blood of Jesus. Just think about your teenage years, if nothing else. No. How about you think about your 20s? Oh, man, I'm good. I want to stop thinking about that stuff. I'm going to confess and forsake now. Lord, cover me with the blood of Jesus. I need you. I'm not going to even fool myself. I'm not trying to stand before God on my own merit. All right, so here we go. And so don't let people get you caught up in different stuff. I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were open. So, hey, man, what you think about Donald Trump? What you think? Man, I don't care. The dead, great and small going to stand before God. I'm praying for that dude. I'm praying for everybody else. Because when you stand before God, if you don't have Christ, that's a bad day, which leads to bad eternity that never ends. Don't let people get you caught up in other people. God is going to straighten all this mess out. Don't stress. That's why Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. God's going to straighten it all out. And if you're on God's team, you good. If not, then you should be worried. Some of us, we too old to worry about stuff anyway. I'm not going to spend my last days worrying about nothing. Somebody say amen. There's stuff I can't change anyway. And people that don't want to be changed, I ain't spending my last days worried about nothing. I'm going to spend my last days praying and smiling. And celebrating y'all and my family. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing, man. God's going to straighten all this other mess out. That's God's job, man. We worried about stuff that we're trying to play Holy Spirit. And man, that's God's job to straighten that mess out. Don't play Holy Spirit. You pray to God. Let him work out the details. He's excellent. He's specific. He's detailed. He's orderly. He's creative. God got it. He took care of you and I. And somebody can say amen, because that was a major task. If he took care of me, I know he can handle my kids. They're not even close to what I was. They're not even close to what I don't let them know that, but they're not even close to what I was doing when I was their age. Let God work out the details. Because it's going to come to this. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, great and small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You don't want him to line up everything you did and said, okay. you'd be like, man, I forgot about that. Good. Ooh, I forgot. Oh, no. I was cold back in the day. I forgot about that one. I forgot all about that. Yeah, God, okay, well, we're just getting started, so get comfortable. Oh, man. Well, you say, John, any more barbecue tickets? Because I ain't going. If you judge me based on my works, I'm gone. I'm gone. We at the barbecue forever. That's not good. Can you imagine? According to their works. And look at this. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Whew. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So not only do you got to die once, you got to die twice. But underline verse 15 if you haven't done it already. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the barbecue. That never ends. And then, but we read how every nation and every tribe and all types of people that are saved, that were rescued, are going to be in heaven celebrating with God. And see, God's given us free will. So God is saying, if you want to go to the flaming barbecue, I'll let you go. But if you want to come in to heaven with me, Jesus Christ, he's left. That's why Jesus said, I desire that they would be where I am and that they would understand the glory that I left so I could save them. And I'm going to prepare a place for them. And it's just a free gift of life. So their names can be written in the book of life. And when you get down to it, everything else is a mirage and a distraction. Because it's not, and I think about it often, it's not if I die, it's when I transition. Because we all got to do it. It's the only thing left that man can't conquer that God has. And it's no way around it. It comes to this. And it depends on the decision we make on this side of the dirt. You have other religions telling you. Now, this is what the Bible says. That's why we stick to the word. Other religions will tell you that, you know, you get a chance to come back. Or while you're down there, you go to a little holding tank and somebody pays enough money to get you out. Or somebody can get baptized for you and they can save you while you're. Make a note. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed for us to die once, and after that, the judgment. We're going to transition, and it's going to be judgment. But I thought I could come back and get it right. The guy selling the barbecue tickets, that was his narrative, not mine. Okay? That's what Satan had just caused the lie to deceive the world. And we talked about this, and I'm closing. When God plays that video, we talked about this yesterday with the man. When God plays that video of our life, we're going to see tons of people that shared Jesus Christ with us along the way. So we'll never be able to say, well, God, I didn't know. Nobody will be able to say that. Remember the character of God between a blind beggar and a rich sinner. That's the character of God. God's not out to get us. That's too easy. Who's been in a car accident before? We got some cats like me from the hood. Who's been shot at before? Right. Right. Who shot somebody? I don't want to know that. Just kidding.
All the hands.
What? What kind of church I got here? If God was out to get us, that's too easy. God's not out to get us. God's out to save us, to rescue us. And that comes through Jesus Christ. Let God work out the details. Give your heart and life to Christ. And remember, if you don't give him 100%, you'll never know. We talked about this yesterday. The surrendering. Abraham surrendered. He lifted the knife. Until he lifted the knife, he didn't see what God had. Until he totally surrendered, he didn't see what God had for him. If he would have stayed at the bottom of the hill and said, I'm not taking my son nowhere, he never would have saw what God had for him. If you don't surrender 100%, you just don't know what God has for you. And why would God show it to you anyway? Because you're not going to do nothing with it. Because you're not surrendered now. Bow your heads. So, Lord, we just thank you and we bless you for your word. The title is God Enough? With all you have prepared for us, do we even believe it? Are we willing to commit and to trust in you today like never before? So, Lord, we bless you, we thank you, we love you. And only we can answer that, Lord. We have to look in our heart of hearts. Say, do I want the angels in heaven to sign my name? Do I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And if it is already written in the Lamb's Book of Life, am I ready to give God 100%? And only we can answer that, Lord. You've issued the challenge. Your word is clear. And you're so kind that you're not going to force us. You're not going to twist our arm to love you, to commit to you, to follow your prescription. You're not going to do that. It's only up to us. So, Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I don't know if my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never accepted Jesus Christ. So I just need to be sure this morning. I don't want to play games with this. If that's you and you want to be sure that you're saved, you're not sure if you're saved, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, elevate your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I want to get it together. We're in July. And I'm still playing 2016 games. We're in July of 2017. But I need to tighten my game up, so to speak. I want to rededicate my life this morning. That's you. Elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I've been visiting. I haven't officially joined. And I just need a place of refuge where I can come. And I know God is real and the people are real. And I love what God is doing here. I'd like to be a part of it. If that's you and you want to be part of South Bay Abundant Life Church, elevate your hand. We love to be your family. We're not members. We are family. Lord, how we love you on today, how we bless you, how we thank you, Lord. You said, he that have ears, let him hear. Let us discern what God is speaking to his people. Lord, I just pray for myself and all those that are here this morning. Lord, as we go back out, as we leave this place of refuge, this sanctuary, where you're speaking loud and clear, you're speaking to our hearts. As we leave this place and we go out, that we remember the words you've spoken. That we don't get distracted by the enemy, the temptations, the frustrations, and the distractions. That we are aware, Lord, of the spiritual warfare that's going on outside of these walls. Give us strength to get through the day. Not trying to be perfect, Lord, but let me just live for you today. So all I can handle anyway is today. Pray that we would take our study and fasting time seriously each morning. Pray for one another. Celebrate one another as we thank you, Lord, that you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We celebrate you, Lord, and we bless you. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.